You're listening to the Qalam Podcast, Ramadan Reflections by Mufti Hussain Kamani. This summer, Mufti Hussain will be teaching the Hadith Intensive. Students will study the different methods of compilation and preservation of a Hadith, the major role female scholars have played in Hadith preservation, the biography of famous Hadith narrators, as well as different Ahadith collections and excerpts from famous Hadith texts like Sahih al-Bukhari. For more information, visit hadithintensive.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على سيد الرسل وخاتم الانبياء وعلى اله الاسكياء واصحابه الاتقياء اما بعد. It seems like just a few days ago I stood before this congregation after Isha Salah, and together we welcomed the month of Ramadan. And we reminded one another that this was a month that we had aimed to accomplish much in. And we kept reminding one another again and again that the month of Ramadan is coming to an end. The month of Ramadan is passing by. Let's make something of this month. And today I stand in front of you to remind you that we have potentially three fasts left for this Ramadan. Thursday, Friday, Saturday. With a high possibility of Eid being on Sunday, inshallah al-Aziz. So now it's time for us to start evaluating. What have we accomplished and what's left to accomplish from Ramadan? Hopefully, we've accomplished a lot in our personal ibadah. When it comes to reading Quran, fasting, qiyamul layl, dua, crying in front of Allah, asking Allah for forgiveness, seeking Allah's mercy. These are all things that I spent a lot of time in this Ramadan talking about. Personal development, spiritual development. But there are things beyond your own personal spiritual development that Ramadan also wants you to develop in yourself. And yesterday we started off this discussion. The companions, they say, we had never seen a month in which the Prophet ﷺ was more generous in than in the month of Ramadan. The Prophet ﷺ was always generous. There are so many narrations of people coming and asking the Prophet ﷺ, and at some point, him saying that I don't have anything left to give you. Or sending someone to go and ask all of his wives if they had anything left. And they would come back and say there's nothing left to give. He was a very generous person. But then in the month of Ramadan, the Prophet ﷺ took this to a whole different degree. And today I'm not just talking about generosity that's financial. That was yesterday's discussion. Today I want to talk about generosity beyond just contributing with your money. Generosity of the heart. Establishing real brotherhood, sisterhood, and unity within the community. Putting others before you. The human being always wants to be at the front of the line. When you're checking out at Walmart and there are three people in front of you, your heart desires to be at the front of the line. Even though you know those people that are standing in front of you are standing there rightfully. They came before you, they stood in the line, but your heart doesn't want you to stand in line. You tell yourself, only if there was a way that I can go to the front of the line. Because you always want to put yourself above others. You want to give preference to yourself. When spirituality doesn't come by serving yourself, spirituality comes through serving others first. And this is kind of like a synopsis of the life of the Prophet ﷺ. Constantly giving preference to others. In every element, every aspect of his life. If another person needed help, the Prophet ﷺ was always there to be at the forefront. And the same thing we see in the lives of the companions, the Khulafa al-Rashidun, that these were people who were always at the front line, putting other people in front of them. When the famine hit during the Khilafah of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, he took an oath that he would not eat until the Muslims ate first. Even though he had wealth of his own, even though what they were giving him would not decrease from other Muslims, but he said, how can I be their leader if I don't feel the pain that they're going through? And he would turn to his stomach and he would hit his stomach and he would say, make all the noise you want, because his stomach would hurt. They say that he went through such difficulty during that year of famine that the skin, the color of his face had darkened. His family members would plead to him, please eat, please eat. And he would strike his stomach and say, make all the noise you want out of hunger. But I won't eat until the Muslims eat first. And when he saw that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored the Muslims, when the famine came to an end and the skies were showering down, he was the one that was most happy. Not because he was going to bring food home first, but because he knew that other Muslims would go to sleep hungry and satisfied. Not hungry anymore and satisfied tonight. This was the state of the people. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he came to Abu Dhar al-Ghifari radiallahu anhu, and he says to him, إِذَا تَبَخْتَ مَرَقَةً فَأَكْثِرْ مَاءَهَا وَتَعَاهَدْ جِيرَانَكَ. That when you cook some sauce for yourself, or when you cook some soup, some curry for yourself, add a little extra water. Now you must be thinking, the companion's asking, O Messenger of Allah, why should I add extra water? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, because when you add extra water, وَتَعَاهَدْ جِيرَانَكَ, now you can share with your neighbor too. You won't just eat alone. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Laysa al-mu'min alladhi yashba'u wa jaruhu ja'i'un ila jambihi." That a believer is not one who eats till he's full and his neighbors next door to him are hungry. That's not the believer. The believer doesn't put himself above the world. The believer puts other people in front of them. The believer is the one, "Wayuthiruna 'ala anfusihim walau kana bihim khasasa wa yut'imuna at-ta'ama 'ala hubbihi miskinan wa yatiman." وَأَسِيرًا. They fed other people. People who were not in the best circumstances and they didn't have a hope of being paid back. Look, if I took a wealthy person out for dinner, I know in my heart that one day he's going to pay me back. I take him out today, tomorrow he'll take me out too. But then taking out a person, مِسْكِينًا وَيَتِيمًا وَأَسِيرًا, a poor person, taking them out for dinner, or taking an orphan out for dinner, or providing food for a prisoner, do you expect any return from these people? Yes or no? No. Why are you doing it? Because you care for the value of that human being. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the next ayah, in, they say, these people who feed them, إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ. We aren't feeding you so that you feed us back. We're feeding you for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءً وَلَا شُكُورًا. You don't have to thank us, you don't have to reward us. إِنَّا نَخَافُ مِنْ رَبِّنَا يَوْمًا عَبُوسًا قَمْطَرِيرًا. We have fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of a day that is very severe and its punishment is not bearable. We aren't interested in that day, Allah, in the punishment of that day. So ya Allah, protect us because we've been kind to your creation. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us in a narration, اللَّهُ فِي عَوْنِ الْعَبْدِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will continuously assist and help his servant as long as that servant cares for other people. Don't let your heart become one that is self-obsessed. My education, you forget about your parents and your siblings. My wealth, you're not providing to the poor anymore. My house, my this, my that. Because when you become about yourself, slowly, slowly, the number of people that you actually care for will decrease. And believe it or not, a time will come where the simple lesson that your parents taught you from childhood, always look after your brother and sister, a time will come in your life where you won't even care about them anymore. Your own brother will come and ask you, please assist me today. And you will say, nafsi, 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 nafsi. I'm worried about myself. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was not nafsi, nafsi. What was his response? Ummati, ummati. My people, let them come first. I shared this narration with you. One night the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam read an ayah of the Quran and he cried and cried and cried. Jibreel alayhi salam came and said, O Messenger of Allah, why do you cry? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I'm worried, about what will happen on the Day of Judgment. And Jibreel alayhi salam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that on the Day of Judgment, He will make you happy. وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْتِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى. You will be pleased. Allah will take care of you. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this to the Prophet, that you will be taken care of, what's the first thing that he says? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then know that I won't be happy until my entire ummah goes to Jannah. Until every one of them don't go to paradise, I won't be completely satisfied, I won't be happy. Go and learn a lesson from your own mothers. Go and learn a lesson from your own fathers. Look at the people of the world who had big hearts and the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevated them. Abdul Star Eidi, last year we heard about him passing away. And then not only him, but there are so many people. You know, people who opened up their hearts, they didn't have wealth to give, but they had a lot of love to share. They cared for other people, genuinely cared. We see this in our community. You know, over the past few days and even today, we have refugees in our community that are attending our masjid so that they can help themselves and collect zakat. And believe it or not, alhamdulillah, I was speaking to Dr. Saab yesterday and he was telling me that mashallah, the sadaqah has increased and people are giving and we're able to distribute that wealth. But when I heard per package, depending on how much we've collected, each family was getting around $150. What is a family going to do with $150? I don't understand. If you have four kids, a husband and wife, what are you going to do with $150? We live in America. If someone gave you, for your six people, $160, what would you do? $150, what would you do? You would say, what am I going to do with this money? I could probably get an Uber five times, that's it. That's one way. Otherwise, this money is not going to help me much. Not that they're ungrateful. Well, alhamdulillah, you know, smiles and joy and patience and excitement that the Muslim community is here to help us. And mashallah, our community has helped. But this responsibility has to continue on. This is not just a matter of providing a small token of appreciation. These people, by coming to our masjid, they've done us a favor by giving us the opportunity to be there for their khidmah. Just as the Ansar saw themselves as honored because the Muhajirun gave them the opportunity to do their khidmah. It's not just a matter of a one-time donation. If one of you has the real heart of a believer, inshallah, and I make this intention myself, even if you can't do it today, just make the intention. Say inshallah. Take the responsibility that one day when Allah gives me and if I have the opportunity, I will sponsor a full family for a whole year, inshallah. Where I provide for my kids, I will take the responsibility to provide food for their kids. Where my kids are clothed, on the season when I buy my kids clothes, I will send clothes there too. On Eid day where my kids get their gifts, I will give gifts there too. Because that's the heart of a believer. The heart of the believer doesn't feel content knowing that another person is in pain. Al-mu'minuna kal-bunyan. Or in one narration, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-mu'minuna ka-jasadin wahidin. One body, that's what the believers are like. In ishtaka aynuhu, ishtaka kullu. If the eye is in pain, the entire body is in pain. Wa in ishtaka ra'suhu, ishtaka kullu. And if the head is in pain, the entire body is in pain. There was a famous scholar from the subcontinent by the name of Sheikhul Hind. He was known as Sheikhul Hind, rahimahullah. He was imprisoned for a period by the British armies that were occupying India at the time in Malta. And he was tortured there extensively. And his students, when he was being imprisoned, they said to the soldiers, arrest us too. They said, you haven't done any crime. So they said, tell us what crime we need to commit to go with our sheikh. And then these students were also then arrested and they were taken in prison with their sheikh. And what they used to do is, they would do khidmah. One of the students, he says that when we were in the prison with sheikh in Malta, Ramadan came and we were fasting and there was no one to lead Taraweeh prayer. So the sheikh was very old, he couldn't lead himself. So he said to one of us, memorize the Quran and lead Taraweeh. That student says, I would memorize the juz during the day and lead the Taraweeh at night. I became Hafid of the Quran in 30 days in that prison. Which is a very interesting, there's actually a book written on his time in Malta and in that prison. Finally, when he was released, he gave a historical speech. Sheikhul Hind rahimahullah, he gave a historical speech when he was released from prison. And he said that in that time while I was in that cell, I kept thinking that what brought the Ummah to where it is today. You have to contextualize India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, that whole region, what it was going through. You know, war and thousands and hundreds of thousands of people dying and back and forward. So he said, I was wondering what brought our nation to where it is. What were the problems? And he said, after giving this so much thought for years and years and years, I summarized it down to 2 points. There are 2 things that if we fix them, Allah will honor us. But as long as we ignore these 2 things, we will always remain dhaleel and disgraced. The first thing, the ummah has lost their connection with the Qur'an. If they don't connect themselves with the Qur'an, there will be no izzah, no honor for them wherever they go. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored this ummah because of the Qur'an. Tonight could be Laylatul Qadr, 27th night of Ramadan. This night, what's the honor of it? What's special about this night? Inna anzalnahu. The honor of this night is in the Qur'an. What's the honor of the month of Ramadan? شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ. The Qur'an is the source of honor. Wherever the Qur'an goes, it honors with it. Wherever it goes, whoever takes it into their heart, whoever brings it into their practice, the Qur'an will follow them and honor them and bring honor to their family. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the child who memorizes the Qur'an on the Day of Judgment, his parents will be given these beautiful chairs or mimbars to sit on. And they will sit on these high thrones, and on their heads they will be given taj, a crown. And the crown will be so beautiful, it will be so beautiful, that those who won't have that crown will envy and say, only if I had that crown on my head today. That's the nature of the Qur'an. Even those that are related to the person who's hafid of the Qur'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honors them too. And the second thing Shaykhul Hind rahimahullah ta'ala said, the second reason why I see the ummah is where it is today, is because we are divided and the love is lost in the heart and we've become groups. We are no longer one big family. Ukhuwah and brotherhood has left us. You know, this is the reality. People, when they sit at iftar, they sit with people from their own race. And this is not just an issue with a particular family or a particular, that when someone's having a party, they invite the people from their own race. This is not just one group or one family. This has become a universal issue. As far as this voice goes, trust me, there are people who will agree that this is the issue in their communities too. Our friends, who are they? People from our own race, people who are relatives of ours. Those Muslims, where are they gone? That every person that was to their right and their left, they had the desire to hug them and kiss them on the forehead and say, oh my dear brother, make dua for me. Tonight is Laylatul Qadr. If you make dua for me, it's very possible Allah will forgive me. I will make dua for you too. These were who the Sahaba were. There's a narration that three of them, they sat next to the Kaaba and they said, let's make dua for one another. One will make dua for the others, the other two will say Ameen. And like this. And that narration, I don't want to go into it. The du'as were very interesting. The participants were very interesting. And Allah accepted all of their du'as. One became a leader. One became almost a khalifa. And the other person became a muhaddith. These people, they had that much trust in one another. So that's a sort of brotherhood and community we need to develop again. And this is the very same spirit that Ramadan starts with when we start off with the virtues of feeding one another for iftar. And this is the very same virtue, the very same principle, the very same ethic that the Quran, the Ramadan, Allah wants us to exit the month of Ramadan with, and that's why we have Sadaqatul Fitr. You start your Ramadan every day and you end your fast every day with giving other people preference over yourself and remembering other people and ending your Ramadan with the very same attitude that where I provide for myself, I need to provide for other people. I know for a fact there are many people in this congregation, and this itself is a litmus test. If you're wondering where your heart is when it comes to love for the Ummah, here's a great litmus test. And I don't want you to raise your hands, I just want you to reflect in your heart. How many of us have already given our Sadaqatul Fitr? It's the 27th night, by the way, tonight. We have 3 nights left at tops. We're going to have 2 nights of Taraweeh, most likely, possibly 3 nights. If we cared so much for the Ummah, we would have already given our Sadaqatul Fitr. We would have ensured that it reaches the hands of the people. The state of the Ummah is such, and mark my words, because this is going to happen probably in our own community. Salatul Eid is starting, people are rushing in saying, where do I give my Sadaqatul Fitr? Where do I give my Sadaqatul Fitr? It's an obligation. They say I'm fulfilling an obligation, but their attitude is such that, as if you're being forced and coerced to go pay back a debt. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you this opportunity to care, to show love. Discharge your Sadaqatul Fitr today, tonight. Don't let another night pass by without you discharging your Sadaqatul Fitr. Anyway, khair, we close off this halqa, this khatira, this gathering of ours, to remind that one of the main lessons of Ramadan is to learn to love other people. Learn and love. Love everyone around you. Share the love and put other people before you. When you're standing in line for iftar, don't cut the person in front of you. Don't desire to get dessert before them. Let them go in front of you. You eat first. If you eat first, it'll bring me joy. Isn't that the attitude a mother has towards her child? Yes or no? Or does she cut her child off and say, I'm going to stand front in line? Never. She'll say, you go first. She'll give her child the food. She'll make sure her child sits down. She treats every of her children with so much love that those children see it. And that's the same love we need to have in our communities. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bonds our hearts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala joins them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes from our eyes the colors of race. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes from our hearts the division of language. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes from our hearts these dividers of wealth, the poor and the rich. And may we all become one. Because by Allah, all of us, every single one of us, min Adam, wal Adam, min Turab. We are all the children of Adam alayhi salam. And Adam alayhi salam was created from soil. وصلى الله تعالى على سيدنا محمد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته